Well, you know, I want to speak this morning very briefly and challenge you with a question that I think is important, and that is the church relevant today? Now, obviously, you're here this morning, so I guess you would answer yes to that question, right? But is it relevant? It's very challenging to give a serious look at the church. And I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church universal. Is it relevant today? And I, more than ever, yay, amen. I don't know if this, Conrad, I have nothing on the screen, but that's okay. I'll just keep chucking away. There you go, relevant. Listen, look at the definition of relevant. Logically connected with an important to the matter, and important to the matter at hand, appropriate, germane, and pertinent. So if I take that definition of relevant and I apply it to the church, the question is the church today, universal, logically connected, and is it important to people? You know, I'm preaching to the choir, obviously, but there's a message behind this message of the importance of why the church should be relevant in our society. You know, this whole question was stimulated in my mind this week. I had a whole different sermon to preach this morning, but I was watching a... sometimes I turn on the Jewish network because they have such great reflection. JBS, it's channel 138 if you have cable vision. And I'll go there often. There's a show I really enjoy called L'Chaim with Rabbi Mark Golob. And he interviews, he just did an interview with Jackie Robinson's wife, Rachel, talking about racial injustice and so forth. And so there was a dialogue between a Catholic priest and a rabbi about relevancy. And the priest was Father McManus. I'm not getting anything here. That's all right. There you go. There's Father McManus. He is a tenured theology professor at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. And he was sharing about relevancy. And he made a very interesting observation. He said that he wanted to see if the church body... He's going to change my battery. He wanted to see if the church, the student body, was engaged with all of the various services that they offered on campus. And they offered services for all the faiths representing the student body. And so he took off his clerical garb that you see in that photo, and he put on street clothes, and he sat in the back of all these services over a period of time to see what was happening with these students. And here's what he found, interestingly. Over 50% of the student body attended worship every week, which is enormous for college kids, right? Because many of them, Sunday morning, they're sleeping till 2 in the afternoon. But what he saw in, you know, he's a very observant person, and he was watching what was happening, the dynamics of the worship. And what he observes that young people found the importance in why they gathered was not only to worship God, but to connect with a friendship, a sense of belonging, and being able to connect to others. A membership of belonging. That's what most of them felt. They went to service because it was a body that they could connect with and help them get through life. And I thought that was very interesting. And then he further mentioned, and I didn't know this statistic, he said that in the New York diocese, there has been a 75% drop in Catholic weddings over the past 10 years. 75%! And he said these are explicit statistics. And this is what he said. He feels, without using a scientific survey or a study or a poll, is that these young couples feel disconnected with the church. Therefore, where they have their nuptials officiated is not as important as the generation before them. If they have a civil wedding or they go to another denomination, you know, years ago, probably our parents, if you were Catholic, you got married in the Catholic Church. And if you were Catholic, you went to the Catholic Church in your area. And he's saying that is not so anymore. And he's asking the question, why isn't the church relevant to that generation? And so when we look at the gospel text this morning, we see Jesus traveling through the region of Galilee, and what he's doing is he's preaching, he's teaching, he's ministering to, he's healing, he's embracing, and he's loving on people who he encounters. But the point that I don't want to miss, he says this: when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Compassion. Look at the definition up there. A sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, but it doesn't stop there, together with the desire to alleviate it. See, it's not enough to just say, I'm witnessing people in distress around me, and that's too bad. It says if you have compassion, you not only see it, but you want to do something to alleviate it. And that's a Webster's Dictionary definition. But I think it holds great, thank you, Conrad, I think it holds great with the gospel message as well. There's the rub. To not only be conscious of others who are wounded by life, who are grieving over loss, who have lost direction, who are hungry, naked, thirsty, but a desire to do something about it. Do you know, I had a theologian once share with me in seminary that if the church was doing its job universally, there would be no need for government assistance to help anybody. If the church was really doing the stuff that Jesus talks about here. You know, we have a food pantry ministry, and hopefully, Lenny, one day we'll get this Wesley dinner back up again where we serve meals. You know, this coronavirus has set us back a bit, but this church has been a mission-oriented church, reaching beyond the doors to help people who we see in distress and want to do something about alleviating it. So what is the message of the church today as it relates to helping people to remain faithful and strong and a willingness to persevere? I think, Bob, you shouted out the church is very relevant, especially today. Amen. But where is the church missing the mark? Why is it that the church is not connecting today? Not only to the young, why isn't it connecting to people of all ages in this generation? And so here's a couple of things I thought of this week as I was formulating this message. I thought, well, people want to know that they're understood, okay? We're all different. And we want to know that we're understood, we're unique individuals, we're not cookie cutter people, and to embrace people wherever they're at. People want to know that the church cares. People want to connect with others in order to be strengthened, not only in their faith, but in their lives as they live out their lives in these challenging times. And people want to know the truth. Why? The truth will set you free. And thank God the church has the truth. I don't know why we're so shy about sharing that truth with the world. We have the gospel truth that has transcended generation after generation. Many thought Jesus was a cult back in the first century. They just thought he was a fly-by guy who claimed to be a Messiah, just like many others before him who died and all of his disciples disappeared. But in this case, Jesus did not disappear because he is the Messiah, and he lives. And he lives today. He lives in us. The truth of the gospel is more powerful and relevant than any political or social message that we could hear today. And by the way, our faith can bleed into the political realm and how we vote and how we hold our politicians accountable. Yes. And the social issues that are going on in the world. John Wesley, that was a central part of his ministry, was the social gospel. But more important than political social for Wesley was the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ. That was paramount. Because he felt if you came into a relationship with Christ, then good works will follow. Because faith without works is dead. And so to just be about works and not faith, it's lopsided, it's reversed, it's backwards. One has to come into a faith relationship. And then out of our faith, we want to alleviate the distresses that we see in our midst. And so the truth of the gospel is more relevant than anything that we could glean from society today. It's very relevant and helpful to people living a life that is fruitful and productive and meaningful and filled with peace. Now, some of you here today, if not all of you, will know that because of your faith, you were able to get through a very difficult time. That everything was collapsing around you. The ground was shaky. And it was through your faith that you were able to center on God and hold everything together. I know I could witness and attest to that in my own life. The message for the church today is that the message of the gospel could make people's lives better. And as a result of making our lives better, we could make the lives of people around us better. Because we see the distress, and we earnestly want to do something about it, just as Jesus did and his disciples. Many people in society may feel that living a religious life, I don't even like that word religion, it sounds, very regimental and institutionalized. But many people today feel like a life of faith is not important. But I argue that living a life of faith is extremely important and relative. And Bob, I don't want to keep going back to you, but even more so today than perhaps in previous years. And so there are numerous examples that when we sow faith into a child's life, it creates a foundation that they could build on as they grow older to get through the challenges in school and wherever. And that's why little Jackson over there, using you as an example, Jackson, and he was the cutest pumpkin I've ever seen dressed up as a pumpkin yesterday. We have the parents make a covenantal statement that they're going to raise the child in the faith. That it's not just a get your child done, like filing for a Social Security card. Or I voted, I got it done. It's more about I'm making a commitment to God because my child can't make a commitment to God right now. The baby's too young to understand, And I'm going to grow this child in the faith. And just like Jackson's sister, Ellie, was confirmed. Ellie doesn't remember her baptism. But she was able to stand up one day right here and said, I believe for what my parents stood in for me. So train up the way a child should go. And a child, when the child grows older, will not depart from it. And that's another reason why the church is important. And so in the midst, thank you, Jackson, for the amen. In the midst of all the chaos that goes on in our world, people are hungry for answers as to what the real meaning of life is. I think I heard Dorothy Day on the Sinatra channel the other day. She sang this song, "Is That All There Is? Is That All There Is to Life?" And there's more to life. And that meaning can be found in the biblical message. Here's the greater message of the gospel: that God loves us right where we are. Okay? Now, he may not want us to stay where we are, but he receives us right where we are. We don't have to crawl over a bed of nails or coals. We don't have to run around and do a million things to prove to God that we deserve his love. You see, God's love is unconditional and it's given by grace. We can't earn it. Think about that message. Think about the message that people could be relieved of all of their guilt and sin and be set free to live out their lives. What a peace which passes all understanding is gleaned and realized and obtained in that message alone, that God is love. And then he tells us, just as I loved you, now go out and love others. And so the church is relevant because God is relevant. And it's through the church that the compassion we read about in the gospel message today and other places of Scripture, it's through the church that the world sees that compassion lived out through the church. Not a building, but a people. Jesus is just as relevant today as he was to those people in the region of Galilee 2,000 years ago. You know, if people turn more to God for answers from Scripture, instead of turning the cable TV channel, we would find the solution and discovery of what true peace is all about. You see, Jesus was not just conscious of the distress of the people in his midst. In Gospel of Mark, the same thing where he looked upon the people with compassion. In Mark's gospel, he says, immediately following that, he fed the 5,000 plus people. They were hungry. The disciples wanted to send them away. "We don't have enough food." He says, "No, we're going to feed them. Have them sit down. I'm going to provide for their need." And he acted out faith and action together. You see, Jesus' heart breaks when our hearts break. And when we look at our fallen and broken world, friends, we too are moved with compassion. I want to just end with a proven, you don't have to read that, it's an Ohio State University study that was done. By the way, secular, not religious. And this is what they found. People who attend church regularly live 4 more years longer than someone who don't. So you see, you're adding to your longevity by coming to church. Isn't that great? We live longer. You can't get that in a pill at CVS. We live longer because we have community. We have each other. We have the Lord. We have peace. We have someone to turn to when we're struggling instead of trying to get through life on our own. It makes perfect sense to me why we would live longer than others. We have direction to direct our lives through these difficult and stormy seas that we're in. Even now, especially with the corona and everything that's going on, it gives us a rudder to steer through the troubles of life. That's why we live longer. The church is relative, friends, and it's necessary. Father McManus never answered the question. I was waiting. You know why? He's a brilliant scholar. He left it to the hearer to answer it. And I thought that was so enlightening. We are relevant, even in this enlightened generation in which we live. And there's a world out there who needs to make that connection outside the walls of this church. And that is why Jesus ended, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." You see, others will see the church is relevant by the relevancy they see in our witness Monday through Saturday, in the workplace, in our families, in our communities. They'll see it's relevant by our witness without even opening our mouths most of the times. They'll notice something and they'll say, "You know what? I want what he has. I want what she has. I want that peace." And we could tell them where to find it, church, from God and from God's people, the church. Amen.